When you think of the story of Abraham, what do you think about when it comes to his wives? Well, most of us think of Hagar and Sarah, but did you know that he actually had a third wife? He did. Her name was Keturah, and we're going to learn about her story today. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl, and we're continuing today our Women of the Old Testament series, and we're learning about Keturah today. So Keturah was actually the third wife of Abraham. I guess if you consider Hagar his second wife, Keturah is the third wife of Abraham, and she was his wife after Sarah had passed away. And so we read about her story. It's very brief in Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to read for you verses 1 through 6. It says, Abraham had taken another wife whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Madan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. The descendants of Dedan were the Asherites, the Letushites, and the Lemuites. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Elda. All these were descendants of Keturah. Abraham left everything he owned to Isaac, but while he was still living, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubine and sent them away from his son Isaac to the land of the east. And then we also see something very similar in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 32 and 33. It says, the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan, Sheba, and Dedan. The sons of Midian, Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Elda. All these were descendants of Keturah. So as you can see, in both of these instances, we don't learn much about her. But her name itself, and remember in this time frame, names were significant. Her name itself is said to have meant perfume. But the rabbinic tradition was not just perfume, but it was perfumed with good deeds. And the traditional aspect of the way that the scholars think of Keturah is essentially she would have had to have been somebody that would have been seen as an appropriate wife for Abraham. So at this point, Sarah has passed away. Hagar is long gone. Isaac has now gotten married to Rebekah, so he's gone. And Abraham was probably very lonely at this point in his life. And so now he has married this new woman, Keturah. While we don't know much about Keturah, we do recognize that her influence and her participation in the life of Abraham had long-term consequences. It made an impact because she had six sons. So think about this. Abraham was 140 years old when Isaac got married, and now it's sometime after that. For her to be able to have six sons, now clearly she would have been much younger than him, because even though Sarah was old and old age when she had Isaac, that was of course abnormal. That's why we have so much of a story around her. But for most people, just like it is now, they would be younger when they would be having children. A couple things that I want to point out. It is said that she was his concubine, but concubine didn't necessarily mean that they were not married. In fact, it basically probably just meant that she didn't have the same kinds of rights in the marriage that Sarah, his first wife, had had. And we see that because later, her sons did not have the same kind of inheritance that Sarah's did. Because Sarah was Abraham's first wife, and in that culture, that's just the way it worked. And so she bore him Isaac, and that was considered the firstborn, and he was the one that had all the rights and the privileges in that society. And that's interesting because if you remember, Ishmael was actually the firstborn in that family, but because Sarah was actually the first wife, Isaac was seen as the firstborn son. And so even Ishmael did not have the same kind of status that Isaac would have had, even though he was, what, 14 years older. You know, he was a teenager when Isaac was born. It doesn't really matter. It goes by the first wife. And so Ishmael would not have had the same rights as Isaac, and neither would these six sons. But if we think about Keturah for a minute, in that world, having sons was a blessing. We read about the opposite of that. When a woman was barren, it was seen as a curse. So having one son was seen as a blessing, but having six sons meant that she was seen as incredibly blessed in that culture. So just think about it for a minute. After this season of loneliness, in kind of the sunset stage of his life, Abraham is now surrounded by a new wife and six sons. It's interesting to think about because earlier, Abraham kind of argued when he was told that he was going to father Isaac because he was so old. And then he was miraculously able to father Isaac. And so what many scholars believe is that when he was able to father Isaac, he was permanently healed or miraculously healed in such a way that he could go on and father six additional sons after that. And so that's where Keturah comes in. And so she's not only caring for these six boys, but at some point she likely was also caring for Abraham in his old age. She was married to him in this old stage of his life. And I think that speaks to a couple different women. I think that speaks to the women who are in second marriages, because I think sometimes there's a stigma in the church about second marriages, especially after a season of widowhood. But a second marriage can clearly be blessed, and she was being a blessing to Abraham in that season. Her children are part of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. So think about that. God promised to Abraham that he was going to be a father of many nations. Well, these six men, they actually became leaders of six different nations. So it's part of that fulfillment of that promise. It's interesting too, because when you start to study this, you realize that Keturah is considered one of the most ignored, significant people in the Bible. And I just want to park there for a second. We don't know much about Keturah. There is some speculation from scholarship that she was descended from the same line as Abraham and Sarah. We don't know that for sure. We don't know really what age she was. We can guess that she was younger because she was able to be healthy and bear six sons. We don't know her heritage. We don't even know if she has the same beliefs. So we assume that she is. And many scholars and the ancient rabbi tradition is that she was somebody that was had very good character. But we don't even know what happened to her after Abraham died. We don't see her again at all in the scriptures, other than that brief mention in the family line. But God made sure that her name was included in the Bible because she was important. And even though we don't know the details, I think it's important for us to remember that God knows each person's name. God knows every intimate detail about each one of us. He knows the number of hairs that were on her head, just like he knows the number of hairs that are on your head. And the roles that we have, the relationships that we have, all of those things are important to God. Whether anybody else knows about them or not, I want to remind you that God sees you. God sees you in whatever role you're in, no matter if anybody else sees you or not. And whether those roles are being a wife or a husband or a parent or a worker for somebody or a friend or any of the other roles that we carry in our lives, God sees your life. He sees you. He values you. And you are important to him. Whatever roles you're in, he wants you to live out those roles, to be inside of those roles in a way that brings him glory so that you can be a blessing to those that are around you. That's what I read when I read about Keturah's story. And I hope that you remember that, especially in those moments where you are feeling unseen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that even though we don't know much about Keturah, you do, Lord. You know her heart. You know her personality. You know what it was like for her to be married to an 140-year-old man. God, help us to remember that in those moments or in those roles where we feel unseen, that you see us. Even if no one else sees us, you see us. God, I thank you so much for the privilege that it is to lean into the scriptures and understand more about who you are, your character, and your nature, so much so that it doesn't really matter what anybody else does or thinks or knows, because we can have the confidence of knowing that we are seen by you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.